Dynasty Blueprint with Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined, as always, by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Here in my basement, just finished about a close to an hour-long conversation on Twitter about why Aquaman is the greatest of all superheroes. And I wanted to congratulate you on hitting 10,000 followers. It's a big move, and I'm approaching a milestone here myself.
Yeah, you're getting close to 50,000, I believe. So maybe
I've been close for a year now. So
you're getting a push. My phone was blowing up with Matt Williamson mentions last night. Yeah. So I know you'll be there soon, and it's well deserved.
I've began lobbying. I usually don't do such things, but it's been bugging me. I'm goal oriented. It's sitting right there. I need like 30 followers, and so better happen tonight.
All right. Well, I know everyone listening is already following you, so spread the word. Get Matt to 50K. That's a very, very impressive number, obviously. Well, speaking of impressive, Matt, we've got an impressive guest with us today. He is a fellow DLF writer. He's also a Dynasty Scouts writer with me. He's written the Devy Report, I think, the past 2 years. He's also the co-host of the DLF podcast and the DLF Filmetrics podcast. He is Nick Whalen. Nick, how's it going, man?
It's going well. I appreciate you guys having me on. I love the show, and being able to not only talk on here but pick your guys' brains, I think, is going to be fun.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, Nick works on the Dynasty Scouts team at DLF, and he has done the Devy Report. So as you guessed, we're going to talk some college football and some Devy players today. And I'm excited. We've touched on that topic a little bit. We've mentioned the class of 2017 quite a bit, and we're really going to dig into that even more today. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about this big trade that happened just yesterday in the NFL. Dorial Green-Beckham traded to the Eagles from the Tennessee Titans. We had heard reports, almost all negative news, regarding DGB since training camp began, so maybe this shouldn't be a surprise. Matt, I want to get your take on this deal. Is DGB's situation better in Philadelphia, and what's his dynasty value looking like?
It's a good question. You know, I think his situation is better because one team wants him and one team didn't. You know what I mean? Like, my hunch is, you know, you said this is a big trade. My hunch is NFL people don't think this is as big a trade as we do. And I bet this is how things went, where Tennessee, they signed Andre Johnson to a 2-year deal, so that to me was sort of curious. Like, all of a sudden, they have too many receivers to make the team. And then he's running second team or third team behind Tajae Sharpe. You know, that was odd. Obviously, there was major off the field and especially work ethic questions with him. I mean, people close to the team had told me that he didn't even know where to line up half the time as a rookie. So, and this staff didn't draft him. You know, I mean, this is a new front office. They have no ties to the guy. I think they're sending a message to their team that we're not going to deal with this kind of guy. You know, this is not what we're about. So he's on the block or was going to get cut. And then I guess, you know, how GMs talk, they probably get word that, okay, Philadelphia's interested. And that makes a lot of sense because Philadelphia's receivers' weaponry is very poor. So maybe they can take a big guy like this and turn him back into potentially what he could become. And then you think, well, couldn't you get a draft pick out of it or something? Pick up a backup offensive lineman for a really talented former early second-round pick. Well, the Eagles used a lot of their draft picks to get Carson Wentz. So my hunch is GM from the Eagles calls the Titans and says, hey, I hear you're shopping Green Beckham and might cut him. I don't have any draft picks to offer you, sorry. But here's a list of 8 guys that we will trade you straight up for Green Beckham. And the GM takes the film of the lineman, takes it to his offensive line coach and says, can you do anything with this guy? The offensive line coach looks at it and says, maybe. You know, he can maybe be our third tackle, our sixth offensive lineman. I see something salvageable in him. But in the end, these guys are bottom of the roster players now with potential for more.
I guess it's just shocking on DGB, and I think you make a good point that maybe Dynasty players view him differently than the average NFL fan or even the average fantasy player who's just playing seasonal leagues. Nick, I know you're a big DGB fan, as I said earlier. You've defended him a little bit recently. What's your view on on him at this point and on this trade?
Yeah. if you follow my Twitter, it's been very DGB heavy lately with this trade. So really, I just don't think the Titans, that's horrible mismanagement, I think, on their part. When you think of what they got in return with the receivers that they have, I mean, if you want to say that DGB is going to be a bust and you still have Justin Hunter on your team and you have Harry Douglas, who's, you know, plays similarly to Kendall Wright, I mean, it's just you need a big guy with potential in DGB, and to not let him develop and tailor him to what you want him to be because he didn't play in 2014. We already knew he was raw coming out. He had 500 yards last year. It's about what I thought he would do. So I think to give up on a guy right now is, I think the best example I could come up with, Ryan, is if you're playing poker and you have like a low pocket pair and you assume everyone else on the board has something better than that and you just fold it right away. You still have to play it out and just see what happens because there's no real loss to doing that because, you know, as Matt had said, Ryan Kelly, I think is the guy's name. Or no, I'm sorry, yeah. Dennis Kelly. I mean, he's a backup player, replacement level, close to it. And you have a bunch of other receivers that you're holding on to. One of the things that I had said on Twitter too is that, remember that John Baldwin and A.J. Jenkins trade? I mean, they were going into their third year. I mean, those teams at least gave them 2 years, and they were flat out bad. So it just seems like a quick knee-jerk reaction. There has to be something else, a locker room something, a drug something, a fight something, for it to make sense. But I'm buying, not because, I mean, I only own a couple of shares of DGB, but I just think that, you know, the Dynasty community is going to be so low on him. In Philly, I think he eats into everyone else. I think he eats into Jordan Matthews a little bit, into Aguilar's value, into Ertz's value. But I think the real winner here is Carson Wentz. I mean, that guy's going to have a lot of weapons potentially moving forward. So it should be exciting in Philly.
Yeah, DGB is a guy that's really tough to figure his dynasty value. In ADP and the mocks we run, he's still going relatively high. He's a top 30 wide receiver. He's going in, I don't know, the third or fourth or fifth round. I mean, a very valuable asset. Yet I don't think you could get close to that for him in a trade right now. So, you know, that's one spot where ADP and actual trade value, I think, is very different. Matt, any thoughts as far as DGB's dynasty value? Is he a guy you're buying at this point?
Maybe, but it's so new, and I haven't really kicked the tires with anyone. I don't own him in any of my seven leagues, and I would like to. I've tried to own him. I just haven't been able to get a deal done. And now I don't know what to even offer. You know, like, would you trade a seventh? Well, let's just kind of do this game. Would either one of you give up a random 17 second-round pick for him right now?
Yeah, I would.
It would have to be late for me just because of how good that class is.
Right,
the perceived value, I think, is higher than DGB right now.
Would you rather have Ryan Matthews or DGB?
I'm still taking DGB there, but that says as much about Matthews as anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I like both players, but I still have DGB just due to age and position.
Yeah, but I mean, it just doesn't seem far-fetched to say, even though that their receivers are terrible, he may not be playing football next year.
I guess the good news is it seems like there is a DGB believer or fan in most leagues. So if you do have him and you want to dump him, I think you can find, you know, you can find a buyer. Maybe not at the price that you would have gotten a couple months ago, but there's still certainly interest out there.
Oh, I think you're right.
Well, let's move on to our main topic of the day, which is college football and specifically Devy leagues. And Nick, I'm going to let you get us started with this. You know, many of our listeners, I'm sure, are unfamiliar with Devy leagues, maybe not even sure what that exactly means. So just give us the introduction. What is a Devy league? And specifically, how did you become interested in Devy leagues and scouting these college players?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. So a Devy league is a developmental league. I think that's a Scott Fish term, if I remember correctly, historically here. And that just means that you can choose college players before they get into the NFL. So, for instance, if you were high on Nick Chubb after his freshman year, as a lot of people should be, you could trade for him or draft him and wait on him as he, you know, a couple of years until he gets to the NFL. So that's kind of a fun game. It adds a whole nother wrinkle into this fantasy football game of risk and youth and potential, all that kind of stuff. What led me into it, I mean, my whole life I've been a big NFL draft guy. So, I mean, as a little kid, I watched taped NFL drafts on Saturdays instead of cartoons. I just always been wired a little bit differently. So, me, I always enjoyed watching college football, and I have a college background. And so the scouting part of it just kind of came a little bit more natural to me when I transitioned a little bit to fantasy football. And one of my first dynasty leagues, they would draft before the NFL draft. So you really had to be up on your talent level. And I realized that I had a leg up on everybody. So then that just went to the next level with me trying to get into all these Devy leagues. And it's been fun ever since.
Nick, I have a few questions just, you know, basically of what are Devy, what is a Devy league? I've never done one, but I am familiar, obviously, or I'm in the industry and whatnot. But is there, can you, in your next upcoming draft, can you draft the kid that is the top high school recruit in the country that commits to Florida State and is an incoming freshman? Or do they have to be draft eligible next year? Like, how can you, you have 18-year-olds on your roster?
Yeah, that's a good question because it varies a lot with Devy leagues. There's going to be some of them where it has to be a guy that's going to be in college only 2 years. It has to be a guy that's going to be draft eligible the next year. And most of the ones that I play in, you can draft any kid that is after high school. So, I mean, it could be a kid in, you know, any level, D3, 2, 1. Obviously, you're going to be a lot of D1 FBS type of kids, but I draft freshmen myself, yeah.
Okay, so obviously, the rosters have to be bigger than a typical dynasty league since they're not going to play for you for 3 years or at least a year. And then, like, what percentage of your roster is currently not in the NFL?
Yeah, that's a good question. That goes a little bit to the strategy, too. So some of these leagues, they'll have taxi squads where you can stash some of these college players onto. And then if you wanted additional players, for instance, I'm going to reference Ryan's Kitchen Sink Leagues, which are famous and awesome, by the way. If you can get into one, I would jump into those in a second, although it's going to take up a lot of your time. just to read the bylaws, that's going to take a while. But so in there, you can have so many players in a taxi squad, and then if you wanted more Devy players on your team, they would eat up roster spots. So it really is going to depend on your strategy, et cetera. But I've been, believe it or not, a little bit more Devy heavy. And so I have guys taking up roster spots that could be scoring me points in the NFL and winning me fantasy games.
All right, so I guess this is my last question here is, so draft picks are probably worth less than a typical dynasty league, right? You know, like, I'll trade you a 2017 first. Well, Chubb and Fournette and, you know, Cook and those guys aren't available, so that pick's probably worth less, or you have to wait less to get top talent. But I would also think it's really cool near the trade deadline, like, hey, you're a contender, I'll trade you the 38-year-old Tom Brady for your 18-year-old kid at Florida State.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And because there's a whole other realm to it because, as you said, an 18-year-old kid, and I'll take Dalvin Cook, who I'm sure we're going to talk about later, for instance. I mean, he really increased his explosiveness from his freshman year to his sophomore year at Florida State. So we're guessing how they're going to develop physically, mentally, improvements to their game on top of that. So yeah, trading that Brady away for a younger kid, you're hoping a lot of stuff will develop, but yeah, it adds in a whole nother wrinkle to that. And you're correct, the draft picks do get diluted quite a bit, depends on your league. Some are one round Devy drafts, some are 3 or 5, some are 10. I've been in 10 round Devy drafts.
Wow.
Those get pretty diluted, but every year you're gonna have guys that pop up, for instance, like Kevin White and, you know, Sterling Shepard a little bit, Corey Coleman, even a few years back, as you had mentioned earlier in the episode, Ryan Matthews kind of popped up out of nowhere out of Fresno State, and they're still going to be top rookie picks and not be rostered in Devy's.
Okay, last question then. How about the small school dudes? You know, like, I don't have anybody off the top of my head, but, you know, somebody that's under the radar in a big way, I would imagine even the most, you know, you're really good at this and you're a great Devy expert, but you're not watching Townsend when West was there, right?
No, I'm not. You know, Carson Wentz slipped by me. You kind of have to I mean, in this, and again, I don't do this, you know, it's not my full-time job, so I have to pick spots as to how much film and guys I want to watch. I have to have cutoff limits. But I do, if there's an FCS guy, I mean, I watched Marshawn Koprich prior to this last year, so I stretched down into that area. It's got to be a top FCS guy. Mm-hmm. And I still watch
lower-end. There's a lot of lists out there. I mean, you're going to see the names at least.
Oh, yeah. And there's and I look at lower-end FBS guys, I mean, non-Power 5 conference guys. I mean, I have two favorite wide receivers that are non-Power 5 guys that I know people that follow me are know, they'll blurt them out probably right now.
All right, so, Nick, you've delved into the strategy a little bit, but let's talk more about that. And specifically, I guess, are there any positions when you're, whether if you're scouting or if you're prepping for a Devy draft, are there positions that you just typically avoid? Are there positions that don't translate from college to the NFL as well and that are just, I guess, tougher to project?
Yeah, right off the bat, quarterback and tight end are extremely hard to project because right off the bat with, I mean, in regular rookie drafts, quarterbacks fall just because they have to be in the top 12 generally or 14, however big your league is, unless you're in super flex or start two quarterback. But then when you go into Devy, you're hoping that, you know, Jimmy Clausen develops or, you know, Cody Kessler. I mean, all these guys, they had some hype at some point and they didn't develop. So it's just an added risk that you need them to be the top 12 at their position to be startable. And the same is for tight ends. And I don't know if that's just a personal thing with me, but I'm not good at scouting a tight end and saying this guy's going to be the next Gronkowski because it's tough because it's usage, it's injuries, offensive coordinators change. It's tough for me to gauge that. So those are two that I generally avoid just because their hit rate is so low.
You got to be dead on, I imagine, with the quarterbacks. Like, I bet if you go to any of these scouting these recruiting services, look the last 10 years who the top 10, 12, 15 recruitable quarterbacks are and how many of them actually start an NFL game, let alone become the starter, you know, one of 32, it's got to be a very slim amount.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I think we can just look at this last draft class and look at Christian Hackenberg, who was high on people's radars and then the freshman year, so then everyone projects him to be the next, you know, franchise signal caller and, you know, dud it out in college, and now he's a second-round pick, and I don't think he played in the preseason game, if I remember right.
No, he's supposed to play in the upcoming one, but has not yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's just right there shows you how much variability there is with quarterback and the difference is you want to go running back and wide receiver focused in these Devy drafts.
And lastly, I did recruiting for 4 years basically, and never did I look at a tight end especially. I mean, those guys are skinny, 220-pound kids that I thought had any chance to be close to an NFL player. Certainly not a quarterback either, and we saw a lot of great ones. But like when I watched Adrian Peterson's film coming out of high school, maybe he could have done it.
Yeah, and the tough thing there is to add on to there is you know, I have a little bit of a college experience as well, not as big as you have, Matt, but you know, you get kids and you don't know what position they're going to play.
Oh, yeah, college. Bringing athletes.
Yeah, so then, you know, I mean, even if we go back to Derrick Henry, is, you know, I think you'd mentioned before, but Henry was linebacker, right? Or running back, or maybe the end. We didn't know when he went to Bama, he could have been either of them. And so you're kind of playing that guessing game too. So, yeah, there's lots of variability with Devy's because I didn't take a chance on him just because I didn't want him to play defense and me to waste a pick on him.
I've been talking about Terrell Pryor all week, you know, because he made the big play. He's from Pittsburgh. He was the top recruit in the country. I watched his high school tape. I thought he would have been Von Miller, you know, a 3-4 defensive end or an undersized Shannon Sharp type tight end, you know. I mean, and he goes to college and it's been this long till you could ever use him for fantasy.
Yeah, and I mean, going a few years back, same thing with Matt Jones. You know, I don't know how we're going to say this guy hits and he's Hines Ward and then these other guys don't hit. I don't have that magic eight ball. It's tough.
I was in the Browns war room whenever he came out, and we loved him. And he would have been a Brown if we didn't use the first-round pick on Braylon Edwards.
Well, Nick, let's talk a little bit more. I've mentioned the Devy report. Again, some of our listeners may not be familiar with that. I know that's your pride and joy, as it should be. So tell us more about that and what led you to create this.
The Devy report, I just, you know, five, six, however many hundred hours of my life. We'll just call it that. Basically, what led me to it is when you research for a rookie draft, I assume everyone listening to this cares more about fantasy football than the average player. So, you know, in a rookie draft, you put a lot of time and effort looking at maybe highlight tapes or film or reading stats and reports from people. If you go that to the next level with Devi, I just found myself putting so much time into it that I decided, I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I can make something that people would enjoy. So the first year, 2 years ago, I made it was 107 pages. And then, you know, always wanted to be bigger and better. I went 144 pages this last year. But basically, I'm trying to put everything into one document for people to read. Their date of births, their, you know, height, weight, speed, recruiting profile, analysis of, you know, my analysis of their tape. I rank them. Lots of different things I try to do to make it more convenient because it is such a tough thing to put all that time into these guys. So I just did it for everyone and made this project.
Well, it really is great work. And yeah, you just put the time in analyzing and ranking. I don't know. It's got to be hundreds of players, right, Nick? It's so many. And I've read both Devi reports almost cover to cover the past 2 years. They've been a huge help to me and would encourage everyone to go out and get those. Only $5, right?
Correct, yeah. TheDeviReport.com.
All right. Well, let's talk about specifically this class of 2017. So, you know, if you're active on Twitter or if you're in an active Dynasty League, you've already got this figured out that this class of 2017 is really supposed to be a game changer. We see some top NFL players and fantasy assets being traded for, you know, random 2017 picks. And some of these players that are expected to be in the 2017 class are already household names. So, Nick, before we talk about any specific players, I mean, should we believe the hype or has this really gone too far?
I'll answer yes to both questions. So, I mean, I'm very high on the class because it's not just running backs, which it's, you know, kind of reminds me of that 2008 class with, you know, Forte and McFadden and Jay Stew and, you know, the Chris Johnson and Jamal Charles. I mean, it was ridiculous. So it reminds me of that class. You know, it's not going to be as good as it was in 2014, but it's still pretty good. So it's not, you know, thin anywhere. But, I mean, just overall, the class has so much depth and it doesn't have weaknesses where I don't know how you can undervalue it. Even if a couple of these guys don't declare, a couple of these guys don't hit the way that people imagine, it's still going to be such a good class that the picks are worth it. But people are holding those picks hostage at this point, and it's going to look ridiculous. So I think the price is a little high for some of these firsts, but I think the players are that good.
So it sounds like to me, you know, the price is high, but it's not like you're shopping your 17 picks because of it.
No, I've traded, ironically, I traded one away before the draft for DGB, but that was going to be hopefully a late first. But no, I'm holding on to them because unless I'm going to get the farm, which some people ask for, I'm gonna keep them and get some of these good players.
All right, well, let's talk about some of those players. I guess the consensus top pick at this point is probably Leonard Fournette. He's the running back at LSU. So, Nick, I'm just going to let you, you know, school us on these guys. And if you will, kind of wear two hats, both what you've seen as a scout, as you watched film on these guys, and just their dynasty value and their dynasty prospects.
So Fournette, I mean, you're looking at a guy who was a huge recruit out of high school. He's got the size that you want in terms of a 230-pound man. He has very good power and speed. You're going to hear a lot of negatives with him in terms of his flexibility, tightness of hips. So he's not a perfect prospect, but he accomplished a whole lot at LSU last year. More so in the beginning of the year, not as much at the end of the year. I personally have trouble, and I'd actually like to hear what Matt says on this. I have trouble evaluating LSU running backs based on the scheme because they just pound it inside so much, and it's kind of a almost like a scrum in rugby sometimes, I feel like. But I think he's such a great athlete and running back. I think he can do better in terms of his vision, in terms of maybe his feet at times, but he has soft hands. He's not going to be David Johnson out there, but there's not too many flaws to his game outside of maybe a little bit of stiffness of hips.
If you compare him to Elliott and Gurley, where are Gurley and Elliott better? Where's he better? You know, is he the most powerful of the group? Is Elliott the best receiver of the group? You know, who's the most explosive?
That's a good question. I'm not as high on Elliott as an overall prospect. I know people were very gaga about him.
I don't think he's close to Gurley as a talent.
No. And Gurley's had I would probably have them Gurley and Fournette and Elliott would be about equal. Fournette doesn't have the agility and vision that Elliott has. He's really good there. Gurley has that as well. Gurley has, you know, that playmaking instinct that I don't think either of the other two have as well. But Fournette has just such a good overall part of his game where I think overall in terms of a dynasty value, he'll be probably a notch below Elliott just due to the situation, but they're pretty similar prospects. When I would, and I hate putting comps out there, I don't know about you guys, because everyone's like, oh, he's going to be exactly like this player. In general, he kind of reminds me of like a Fred Taylor type, where Fred Taylor was a real good power, speed, size player, but wasn't going to juke anybody. That's what he kind of reminds me of.
It's not too shabby.
So I guess I should not have said Fournette is the consensus top pick, because I don't think he's your top-ranked Devy player, Nick. Is that still your namesake, Nick Chubb? Is that correct?
Yeah, Nick Chubb's kind of my guy. He had the knee injury, which is not good, not an ACL, but we'll see how that holds up. And that kind of, it was his PCL and a couple other ligaments. It gets me worried when you see these Jay Ajayi, you know, type stuff with, you know, and Melvin Gordon with microfracture. But Nick Chubb, you're looking at, you know, 5'10", 220, 225, has, you know, about the same top end speed that Fournette has. They're going to be in the mid 4.4s. But his power is just unbelievable because he's a lot shorter. He's 5'10 versus Fournette's probably 6'1. And if you guys remembered maybe like a Maurice Jones-Drew with that compact power and speed, that's kind of what Chubb reminds me of, although he's taller, because I think Maurice Jones-Drew was actually like 5'5 or 5'6 instead of whatever they listed him at 5'8 to make him feel better. But I did a study actually at DLF, and I read this article. Chubb had the best statistical freshman season ever for a running back. The only guy that was close was Marshall Faulk, which was at San Diego State, which, you know, probably a little bit easier conference than the SEC. But he's able to consistently make defenders miss. And his instincts, and I'm sure Matt looks for this stuff on film, when you're able to direct a blow at a defender when they're not expecting it to get extra yards, those things are instinctual. You can't make that into a running back, and Chubb has those special qualities and balance that I think put him head and shoulders above anyone else in this class.
Well, I think probably my favorite Devy prospect or Devy player, college player at this point, is the wide receiver out of USC, Juju Smith-Schuster. What are your thoughts on him, Nick?
Yeah, Juju. The great thing about him is he's already got that build. You know, he's already a grown man. You're looking 6'2", 220, and he's young. He's very young for his age. He played half or three quarters of the college football season his freshman year at age 17. Last year, the same thing at age 18. So right now he's 19 and barely 19. So you're looking at a guy that's going to be 20 for most of his rookie season in the NFL. So that's a huge advantage. I know there's those ages out there. Juju is going to get knocked a little bit, I think, similar to how Laquon Treadwell was knocked, because he's not going to be this great athlete overall. He's going to be more of that competitor, possession type of guy. He's going to be physical. My comparison for him all along has been Anquan Boldin, which you want a guy that's going to compete. He's going to make plays, but he's not going to be flashy and run by people. He's more of a football player than he is anything else. That's Juju. Now, there's a few things that worry me. He's been injured and dinged up quite a bit, and it doesn't have to be anything big. I know he broke his forearm, but, you know, a little shoulder here, a little body injury there. But overall, yeah, he's an exciting prospect for sure.
This kid from A&M, I just kind of heard about him today because Todd McShay's list came out of his top receivers. Todd's a friend of mine, and I pay attention to his stuff more than most. Ricky Seals-Jones, I mean, he sounds like he's Mike Evans.
Yeah, right there you have a guy transitioning from quarterback out of high school. So it was there was a positional change for him that took a little bit of time. But, yeah, he's a big guy. He's not as explosive as Mike Evans. I don't think people give Mike Evans the credit for the athlete that he is. Bigger, he's played a little bit more in the slot. He's played that, you know, Marquise Colston. He's this size matchup in the slot at A&M. Runs decent routes. I question the athletic ability overall, whether he can separate, whether he's going to break even maybe a 4.6, 4.65, 40. But, yeah, I definitely could see him having a role in the NFL. I just don't know if he's going to be that wide receiver one that an Evans is.
Makes sense. Hey, something that everybody out there needs to do and they need to check out is go to lootcrate.com. It's a site for geeks. Every month they send you Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, Star Wars, all this geeky stuff in a box to you every month for under $20 a month. If you go to lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint, you save a couple more bucks a month off it. Enter the code DynastyBlueprint, and how can you go wrong? You know, it's a collectible service for geeks, and I know all you guys are fantasy geeks out there. I'm sure a lot of you are Star Wars and Harry Potter geeks too.
So a guy like Ricky Seals-Jones, I think he's what makes this 2017 class so interesting because, you know, there's a year, plenty of things could happen, but he's probably going to be a late second round fantasy pick, maybe an early third rounder, and that just goes to the depth of this class, which it's very top heavy, but it has the depth at the same time. Nick, there's a couple more of those guys in the top tier that I wanted to ask you about. A couple of running backs. One, Dalvin Cook over in Florida State, and Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. So other ends of the country. I see some similarities in their game, but not quite the same. What do you see with those two?
Yeah, you're covering the whole country here. So Dalvin Cook down in Florida State, I had mentioned this earlier, but I was just floored at how much more explosive he got his sophomore year compared to his freshman year. I mean, his freshman year, I was already excited about him. You know, he showed some good qualities. But, man, his sophomore year, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's legit 4.3, just blowing by people with, I mean, that quickness and burst is just, you don't see that very often. The good thing about him is that he bulked up as well. So he's not going to be that C.J. Spiller, Reggie Bush, where he's more soft, you know, wanting to run just everything outside. He'll still run between the tackles. There are some concerns with Dalvin Cook, even though he had some big games. He had a big hamstring injury last year, even though he averaged 7.4 yards per carry with a hamstring battling all year, which was just ridiculous. Along with that injury, he's had shoulder surgery at least twice. I don't know if it's on both shoulders or just one. And he had an off-the-field incident. So right there, you got some hiccups right away. Like, okay, do I want to invest in this guy? He's going to have some of that risk. He's going to have some of that maybe DGB there, you know, but he could be a special talent. So he's the riskiest of these top guys, but he definitely could pay off with that speed. And if there's one thing that I know in Dynasty is people love speed. And I think, you know, as Matt may attest to this, but when you're scouting, speed is, I mean, you're not going to have a huge hole all the time. All these other things are going to matter so much more. But I think Cook's going to rise just because of that.
Do you think it's pretty safe to say, though, the homework I've done on this running back class, it sure seems like there's every shape and size. You know, if you're looking for a scat back, if you're looking for a power guy, if you're looking for the do-it-all player, it's everything there.
Yeah, and it's actually amazing because, you know, you don't normally get that. And the part that you normally don't get is you don't normally get big backs that are good athletes. And there's a lot of them in this class. I mean, we just covered a few, but there's a bunch of others that I like. I would probably go 16 or 17 running backs deep that I feel good about. That would be round 3 NFL picks or better.
Wow. How many did you say again?
16 or 17.
Wow. You know, and that means they'll probably end up being fourth and fifth rounders and whatnot. I mean, but do you think they're Jordan Howard or better type that are 16 or 17 deep?
Correct.
Wow.
Let's talk next about Mike Williams, Clemson wide receiver, had the injury in the first game of the season last year and missed the rest of the year. I don't know. I still have some concerns about this injury. It was a neck injury, serious, very serious deal. Nick, how do you feel about him?
Yeah, and there's a few injuries that I just don't like to mess with. You know, anything with the head and the spine, they do worry me, just like you, Ryan. But Mike Williams, you're looking at wide receiver factory right there, Clemson. I mean, you just look at what they've been churning out with not just Sammy and DeAndre Hopkins, but Martavis Bryant, you know, even going down to Jaylen Brown. I mean, they are consistently putting out good NFL wide receivers. So right there you have something. The good thing with Williams is he has good size at, you know, 6'3", 6'4", 210, but he's very well-rounded in terms of route running, in terms of using his hands, ball skills, high-pointing the football, which if there's one thing that I think college football players don't do enough of, it's high-pointing the football and catching with their hands consistently. I don't know why. It's like an epidemic to body catch, but he's one of those guys that does it quicker than fast. I don't think he's going to be outrunning a lot of people, but I think he's a very high floor type of NFL prospect with the potential to do a lot more if he's healthy, if he gets a little bit more explosiveness. But that Clemson offense this year, man, they're him and Deshaun Watson are going to have a lot of fun, I think.
I want to talk about Watson for a second, but Williams has a terrible wide receiver name. Bad precedence there.
There's a lot of them. A lot of them.
You know, Nick, you talk about you call Clemson a wide receiver factory, and we've had all those guys in the past 4 or 5 years that have come out and become productive NFL players. Well, let's go back to the Juju Smith conversation. Over at USC, you've had the complete opposite. You've had big-name wide receivers, Mike Williams being one of them, Dwayne Jarrett, and probably some others that I'm trying to forget, who have been complete busts in the NFL. So when you're scouting, again, whether it's for the Devy Report or maybe just for your own Devy League, is that something that factors in, or is that just flukish, something you don't really take into account?
That's something I don't put a lot of stake into, outside of if it's the same coaching regime. USC has had lots of different ones. I mean, a couple of the guys that you missed was one of Matt, Big Mike Williams, remember him back in the day,
yeah.
And Marquise Lee even, you know, and Aguilar, you know, even last year didn't have a great year. So
Woods.
But,
Yeah,
Woods, good one, yeah. So a lot of regimes have come and gone there in USC. So I can't really hold that against him that he's not being coached up well, and maybe that's part of the issue. But Clemson, it's the same staff. You know, Dabo Swinney's doing such a great job there. And I don't know if it's the same wide receiver coach, but you think a lot of that continuing would help develop Williams into the right things that he needs to do to be successful in the NFL. So it holds a small grade for me. But, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm not going to look at any small school guy, because how many guys are good out of East Carolina and then, you know, Chris Johnson happens.
Yeah, I think that's smart, because from where we sit, I don't think we know that answer. You know, I mean, that if you're a scout that goes into that college, USC, Oklahoma, whatever, a couple times a year, and you know the lunch ladies and the guys that sweep the floors and the graduate assistants, and you know the program so well, and you're like, well, they don't teach these guys to get off a jam, or their weight program isn't good. That's why, you know, they've had misses at this position. But for any of us to guess that isn't close to it, I think is kind of foolish.
So, Nick, before we move on to a couple of your favorite wide receivers, let's just look back at these six guys we've talked about: Fournette, Chubb, Juju Smith, Dalvin Cook, Mike Williams, and Christian McCaffrey. Those guys are considered in that top tier, expected to be early draft picks both in the NFL and in dynasty drafts. Are there any of those guys that you think are way overrated at this point? Maybe you wouldn't even take them in the first round of a dynasty rookie draft?
No, they're all in there. The one that would be the most questionable would be Christian McCaffrey, who actually I didn't cover before. Sorry about that. And I think he has a little bit of that overrated label right now, but his is going to be very role dependent because he's not great between the tackles. Stanford has such a great beefy offensive line. It's going to be interesting to see how he does this year because they did lose some linemen. And, you know, he's going to have to catch the football. He's going to have to fit in an NFL scheme the right way. And I don't want to predict that. I don't want to predict, you know, Tevin Coleman going to the wrong scheme and not working out well or going to the right scheme. So he's the one I think that would fall down the most and is the most scheme dependent, but those are all really good prospects.
Okay, let's move on to, as I mentioned, your two favorite guys. And I have to admit, you know, I'm a huge college football fan. I follow this stuff as much as I can for my own Devy leagues and just because I love it. Both of these guys, I had not heard of them. I had not heard their name until I talked to Nick about each of them. So let's start with Corey Davis. He's the wide receiver from Western Michigan. A lot of people thought he would be in this current rookie class of 2016. He chose to go back to school. Tell us why Corey Davis is one of your favorites.
You got to bring up a bad memory to start off with Corey Davis, huh? Doesn't declare. Thanks.
It hurts.
I mean, and Daniel Braverman declared, but anyway, I digress.
So this goes back to our original, you know, at the beginning of the conversation. Does it break your heart when you've had this guy on your team for 2 years and you think he's going to declare and you drafted him when he was 18 or 19 and then he stays in an extra year? Like, luck? You know, does that make you bonkers?
Yeah, it does. And that's a whole other strategy as well because there's some owners that will only draft guys they think are going to declare and some guys, you know, won't take the risk on, you know, because like Corey Davis is a guy I really believe in, so I'm willing to wait no matter how long. Or, you know, Chubb or Gurley, I drafted them both as freshmen. So, you know, you have to, that's just a strategy thing. But yeah, it hurts. It hurts for sure. But Corey Davis, I mean, you're looking at a guy that has the size, you know, 6'2", 6'3". He's over 200 pounds. He's going to be running, I think, in the mid 4.4s. He hands catcher. He's a guy, one thing that I really like about prospects is when you see holes in their game as freshmen or as sophomores, and you see them work at those things to get better. For instance, with Davis, he was a body catcher, mainly as a freshman, and as a sophomore, was more of a hands catcher to his junior year where it was mostly hands. So those are things that you like to see him working at. And my favorite thing with him is he's versatile. He lines up in the slot. He lines up on the outside. He catches screens. He can catch deep passes. He can do a little bit of everything. He's a competitor, and he's a really good route runner, which if there's one thing I really key on, it's route running because that is one thing that transitions the NFL.
And he's also a senior now, so we know he will be a part of the class of 2017. Some of these guys, in fact, most of the players we talked about earlier are going to be juniors, so there is some doubt. In fact, I've heard I've heard reports that Christian McCaffrey may stay all 4 years. Just another reason to maybe downgrade him from some of the others in that group. Nick, your other favorite guy is not a senior. He's not even a junior. I believe he's a redshirt sophomore, and that's one reason I've downgraded him a little bit. I don't think he's going to be part of this class of 17, but he could, depending on how he performs this year and obviously just what his choice is in that area. It's Courtland Sutton, the wide receiver from Southern Methodist. And why is he among your top five Devy players?
Yeah, I'm with you there. As much as I like him, I think that he won't declare. He redshirted, and he only played 1 year of college football, so I think that's, you know, in game. So I think that's he needs another year of seasoning, but in terms of a height, weight, athleticism, and speed specimen, I mean, he has special qualities, in my opinion. So Sutton is 6'4", 215. He's going to be running, I think, in the mid-4.4s. It could be better, but the thing that I like the most about him, for a guy that long, the big issues is flexibility, hips, getting in and out of breaks, and being able to adjust to footballs. And that's something he excels at, which those are things that you, you know, little guys do that. You know, when you look at Bruce Ellington's a big fan of the Dynasty community right now, a sleeper, you know. He's gonna hammer cut people, and he's going to get in and out of breaks and create separation. That's what he's going to do well. Well, tall guys have issues with that. Calvin Johnson was good enough that way, but that's what DGB, some of these other guys don't do, so they have to rely on their size. Sutton can adjust his hips and cut so well that I think he's going to be a little bit more of that. I compare him a little bit to Brandon Marshall because I think Brandon Marshall is a very phenomenal athlete for his size, even though he's not super explosive. So those are some things that I really like about Sutton. Now, you're not going to see great numbers from him. Matt Davis, his quarterback, underthrows him a lot. He's more of a runner. So really he did get highlighted a whole lot. He played well against big competition, Baylor, TCU. But I really see a high ceiling for him. He does have a low floor, small school, a guy that hasn't run a wide variety of routes. But there are just a lot of special qualities to him. He plays physical, the athleticism I talked about, the size, and then I've actually seen some of his spring work as well. And I really like how I think I see him stemming defenders at the top of routes to create separation. I see lots of hands catching and being physical. So I'm very optimistic. But, yeah, he's a very, very risky pick right now.
Nick, to change gears just a little bit, is Deshaun Watson your number one quarterback of all the draft-eligible guys, not even from a dynasty perspective, but if you're the Browns or the 49ers or you're an NFL-needy team, if he's not one, who is, and do you see a true franchise guy in this upcoming draft?
Yeah, he's my number one, and it's not really close either. I know some people like Luke Falk. I know Brad Kaya is pretty good out of Miami as well. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, when you look at just the last game of last year, he's in the national championship game without Mike Williams, who we just talked about as a great talent, without Deion Kane, who's also a really good talent there but young, and hung in there with the best defense in the land to a very tight ball game, and he was getting hit. It wasn't like he had clean pockets. I mean, he does the things necessary. That proved a lot to me that it wasn't just they were beating up on a lot of easy opponents, because Watson, I mean, he can run. Fantasy, owners will like that. But from an NFL perspective, he's a competitor. He's kind of proven that he tore his ACL and played the next week in a game. I mean, you want to see that Phillip Rivers, remember when he did that as well. He does a lot of things that I really like. So, yeah, he's my number one in my franchise.
Nick, are there any other quarterbacks, not necessarily part of that class of 2017, but any, I guess, any year, any level that you're liking from a Devy perspective?
Yeah, the next guy on my list, even probably above Kaya overall, is Josh Rosen at UCLA. I am absolutely floored by all of the little things and his technique and his mechanics for such a young player in a big, the Pac-12 and, some tough games. I mean, play action, his feet, his eyes, touch, he's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. A lot of those other things are going to happen. But I was just so impressed with everything that he did, all the little things, that I think the bigger things are going to come later. He's definitely franchise material, and I hate to say that because I already knocked Christian Hackenberg, being high on him after, 1 year, as some people did, but I think Rosen has some special qualities.
From what I'm reading about Rosen, it sounds like the same things mentally you read about Luck at that age, like it's just a rarity with his mental capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I see him looking off defenders and, making good reads. I mean, it's just all those things where he shouldn't be able to do that at that age. It seems almost freak-like. But, yeah, that's a good comp.
All right, I know we talked a lot about running backs, Fournette and Chubb and Cook and Christian McCaffrey. Are there any other running backs specifically, maybe freshman or sophomore, that are on your radar a little bit?
Can I stay with 2017?
Sure.
Yeah, so that's the thing I really like about this class is that there's so many, as I said, 16 or 17 that I really like. One guy probably closer to Matt's heart than all the others is James Conner. Want to see James Conner come back. That's a guy you have to root for. One, I just love a running back that's going to try and, run over you and hurt you, running the football. That's old school football. It's fun to watch. But him coming back from the cancer, I don't know how anybody can't root for that. and actually like his backup as well, Quadre Allison, who will be draft eligible as well. He probably won't come out, but he's one as well. I'm really high on Jalen Hurd out of Tennessee. He's a tall back, which is rare. You know, you're talking 6'4", but he has really good flexibility. You want to look at a comp for him, kind of a Derrick Henry, maybe even better is kind of where I have him. Corey Clement didn't play a whole lot last year. Groin issue, played probably 2 or 3 games. But he's a guy that has a very complete package. I like how he can catch the ball really well, has power, shows speed. I talked a little bit about Nick Chubb near the sideline doing some special things. I see the same thing from Corey Clement. So he's another guy that I'm really high on. Staying with that high-octane Clemson offense, Wayne Gallman is ferocious with the football. I mean, that guy does not want to go down. He is so aggressive just from a mental capacity of not being afraid of contact and taking it to defenders and spinning and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he's as great of an athlete as some of these other guys in these class, but he's really good as well. We can go on down the list. I know some people like Royce Freeman and Elijah Hood. I'm not as high on those guys. Bo Scarborough, he has a lot to prove. And even his small school is South Florida, Marlon Mack. He's a really good athlete that has a shot too.
All right, let's do the same thing with the wide receiver position. Let's run through that. We've got Juju, Mike Williams, Davis, and Sutton as the top guys in Devy leagues. Who are some a little bit further down the line that Devy owners may want to take note of?
Yeah, if you want to stay with – and the tough part with wide receivers is sometimes it's going to be a usage thing. How often are they used in an offense? And we looked at that great LSU team a couple years back, and here they had – you know, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jeremy Hill, and they just couldn't do a whole lot. Malachi Dupree is a really good talent there. I comp him kind of to a poor version of A.J. Green. You have a very slender, slim guy, long legs. So he's not going to be quick, but he's a good route runner, high points to football. He's not going to be anywhere near A.J. Green. Don't quote me on that, but just if you want to think of a game, that's kind of how he's similar. So he's another one. James Washington, Oklahoma State, they pass a lot there, so he's going to see a lot of action. He put up some really good numbers. He's good on contested catches. I want to see him be a little bit more physical, but he's a pretty good athlete there. Looking from a pure size speed perspective, Mac Hollins at North Carolina, I'm high on him. I know that's a little bit out there take, but 6'4", he's going to be a little bit older, but man, he's got some speed and makes a lot of big plays. And then some other ones people are more high on, like Jordan Villeman, et cetera, another size guy. And to throw a small school guy out there for Matt, Cooper Kupp, Eastern Washington, with that red turf out there, not a phenomenal athlete in terms of what the NFL is going to look for, but a guy that is a competitor and does everything else. He's probably going to be more of like an NFL wide receiver 2 or 3, but he's going to run good routes. He's going to not back down from anybody and had a really good game against Oregon. So I don't know how you can't have him on your radar.
All right. We've talked a little bit about how tough it is to project tight ends. I know I've been burned a little bit grabbing some Devy tight ends who don't turn into anything. But are there any that we should know about as college football season nears?
Yeah, that's the rare thing is I think this might be one of the best tight end classes in a long time. And we've kind of had some poor ones here lately, but you don't have to look too far from the national champions. And O.J. Howard, he's a big athletic type of player that they've split out as a wide receiver. So, you know, he's got the athleticism. He made some big plays down the stretch there as well. So he's definitely on my radar and should be on yours as well. In terms of a kind of a different body type, I know people like Jordan Reed, you know, he rose up people's boards because of, you know, he's that move tight end that makes a lot of plays and is not going to stay in a block. Evan Engram at Ole Miss, you're looking at a guy that's going to be, you know, 6'2", 6'3", maybe 220, 230. He is super explosive. I mean, if he's got to run in the 4.4 range. So you're looking, you know, maybe that Vernon Davis, Eric Ebron type of mold, but very good route runner. I was surprised at how impressive he was on film. Now, again, Ole Miss has so many weapons there that he doesn't, he didn't get a lot of targets. But still, I mean, he's a guy that's had over, you know, 21 receptions the last 3 years. So he's gotten enough, you know, work to see that he's a pretty good player. Just to mention a few others, I mean, Jake Butt at Michigan, Jordan Leggett at you know, Clemson. He's not bad either, again, in that high-octane offense. And then if you want to go with a huge flyer, Bucky Hodges, 6'7", 240, all the athleticism in the world. But I'm right now I've backed off. I think Bucky Hodges is more looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
We've gotten a lot of great information from you, Nick, about some specific players today that we want to own in our Devy Leagues, and we're going to enjoy watching as the college football season nears. I was looking at the schedule last night for the opening week of college football. So it's Labor Day weekend. It really starts on Thursday and goes all the way through Monday with games nearly every day. And some of these games are just unreal. I've just got to read some of these games and would just love to hear from each of you which games you're looking forward to or maybe even specific players that you're looking forward to watching from these games. You talked about Josh Rosen, so UCLA is facing Texas A&M, LSU, Wisconsin, Georgia and North Carolina, USC and Alabama, I think that has to probably be the marquee game of the weekend, Clemson, Auburn, Notre Dame, Texas, and Ole Miss and Florida State. So that's what, I think, 7 or 8 games that are just going to be huge. I don't even want to leave the house that weekend. Nick, what games are you looking forward to? What players are you looking forward to watching? Just describe that opening weekend for you.
Just going to be wow, I think. As you said, there's so many good matchups there. I think we got a little spoiled. The one that you had mentioned is the marquee one, I think, is the one I think I keep my eye on with a lot of Devy prospects, USC Bama. So we already mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster, but you know, even staying with USC, I'm a big fan of Ronald Jones II. You want to look at a very quick running back with lots of upside if he can bulk up. He's got some good potential there. And then Bama, we know Bo Scarborough, but you know, I like a lot of their other running backs too. I mean, they got Damian Harris. You got a big time recruit there. B.J. Emmons, he was my second running back out of this last class. And then even Calvin Ridley. I mean, you're looking at a skinnier guy, really explosive, 4.4 type of speed, that he's definitely going to be, you know, a second round NFL draft pick, if not better.
Matt, what about you? Any of those games stand out for you?
I can't say I know, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, obviously there are some huge programs there, and I'm pretty excited to dig in as well, but I don't know the college game 1/10 as well as I used to. That's really like my only day to take the kids to Target or, you know, if I was into college like I am the pros, I would get divorced.
Well, I, you know, whether you're a big college football fan or not, I mean, with these lineups and these traditional powers,
yeah.
You know, you can't go wrong with any of those games. There's going to be star players in every one of those games and even some of the ones, of course, that we didn't mention. Nick, we want to thank you for joining us today. And before we wrap up, just tell all our listeners where they can find your work.
No, I appreciate it. It's been fun. Dynasty League Football, that's where both of the pods are at and any articles that I do. And then if you want to buy the Devy Report, which you're buying 500 or 600 hours of my time, that's basically how I look at it, is thedevyreport.com.
And as we mentioned, only $5, you know, just one of the best deals around. And I've been twisting Nick's arm. I've told him he's got to raise the price next year. It's worth way more, so... When it's 10 or 12 bucks next year, you guys can all come complain to me and pay up. It's well worth it. Well, thanks, Nick, and we'll be back next time.